Settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
And thanks for joining us. For those with us for the first time, I've got an echo. What makes this show so unique is that every week, Mick demonstrates his exceptional gift of deep trance channeling live on air. He channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. They're an educational spirit group, and they are here to give us knowledge and information that we'd never have access to in any other way. And this week we're going to be continuing our conversation about beyond physical death, you know, what happens when you pass over, basically, because it affects all of us ultimately, let's face it. So we can find out all about us straight from the horse's mouth, as it were, when Gregory comes through in a little while. And if you'd like to participate and call us with a question or comment, it's toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And if there's any international callers, it's 530-876-3222. But that last one isn't free. It's only a quick call.
Yes, well, hi. I'm Mick Avery. And as well as Spirit's work, here on the wonderful and ever-growing and fabulous BBSRadio.com every Monday at 7 p.m, we have, oh, that's PST, of course, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on ArtistFirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, or any of the other services we have to offer, please do go visit our websites, which are running, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Now, as Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium, which means I am a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. In this way, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so that they can give us the benefit of their wisdom. And as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we never realized were available to us. When I go into the trance state, I will not know of anything that happens, the conversation or anything of the physical world, until the spirit team bring me back again. And that is how it should be, because we wouldn't want the thoughts and feelings from my conscious physical mind getting in the way of the contact with the spirit world. Okay, so that's me.
So Mick's going to go off and do
gonna
that.
I'm going to take
now.
Glasses off and go and do that.
Which gives me a little time to just tell you that Gregory was asked before his physical life in the early 1700s if he would like to be the representative of this educational group. He had to do an awful lot of training and still does constantly. And it was all to do with helping the people of the earth try to discover a more harmonious way of life to help us understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet. And hopefully raise each other's vibrations and raise the vibration of the planet. It's a very important planet to the spirit world. It's a place of learning and, you know, obviously they don't want us to lose it. So, and we don't want us to lose it. So this is why we do this show and our books and why all the other, really, a lot of the reasons why many of the other show hosts on BBS and all of the other sort of spiritually minded pathways that people walk have this at the back of their mind ultimately. Our group in particular consists of scientists and physicists, scholars of all kinds, as well as ordinary people, because let's face it, we are learning, we can share the things that we know. And, you know, you don't have to be a scholar to have had experiences that will help other people. But in particular, they help us to look at the bigger picture of life and to think outside of the box. The other thing is that you can see us be with us as well on secondlife.com on Sundays at 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific at the Mystic Academy in the new Oracle Temple, where you can have another chance to interact with Gregory. If you have any problems logging on to Second Life, or you don't know much about it, then do get in touch, and we can put you in touch with somebody else that can help you figure it all out and make your way around. Okay, but meanwhile, hello, Gregory.
With love and light, blessings be upon your pathway, my dear. Hello.
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 Okay. So, continuing on our conversation, it's been absolutely fascinating. I was actually thinking, I'd like to, before we start, ask if our listeners would like to, if they think, last week we talked basically about what age it was that we would like to stay at in the spirit world. You know, you can grow
yes.
up if you want to, you can explain that. And you actually did say that 30, for the older generation, obviously, that go past 30, presumably, like to, that's a very common age. So I was wondering if anybody would like to phone up and say what age they'd like to stay at and why. That would be good fun to find out, actually. Yeah. We do a little survey.
Yes, yes.
But we've been talking about what it's like in the spirit world, you know, when you first get there, basically. You know, and obviously everyone's full of desires, and their capacity for learning is still there. And we all go through the same doorway. We don't become all knowing and perfect. We're the same person. Our hopes and dreams can still be our hopes and dreams. So they can be continued to be followed, can't they? And let's go to this caller anyway before
yes,
you. Hello. Who's
Hi.
Speaking?
Yes.
Hello,
Hi.
Hello.
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 Yes. I just got the number from my niece in Ottawa. I never know about these things there, but I like to know, like, something about, you know, if you can get in contact with someone from the other side.
In order to get in contact with someone from the other side, my dear friend, you can actually do that yourself. To a certain extent, you can send love out to the spirit world and ask for a loved one to join with you, to be with you. Perhaps not necessarily for them to do that or for you to experience it readily in the physical world or upon your demand, as it were, but yes. may well be that if you send the loving thought out to that loved one who has passed, then mm-hmm. that will enable you to perhaps have a visit from them whilst you are sleeping or something like that, perhaps mm-hmm. during an astral travel or a dream state, in which case you may well be fortunate enough to make that rendezvous with that person. And also, of course, just because you send the love out to them, to the spirit world, it means to say, and that can be in a prayer or even just sitting down as a thought, even mm-hmm. perhaps while you're doing something else. It does mean to say, and it's very real, my friend, that you would be able to make communication yourself with someone who is missing from your life, perhaps, not in a pleading way, because that will create negativity, which will actually stint, make it absent, the clarity that you need in order to bring your love across to the spirit world. That is all, really, that you need to do, friend.
But if it's a case of, you know, actually wanting a message from a loved one via a reading or something, I'm sure if you go on to the... That's not the sort of thing we do on this program, but okay. if you go on to the BBS... website and actually have a look through the radio shows, I'm sure that you will find somebody on there that actually does a program like that where you can live readings where you can actually ask to be in contact with a loved one.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Yes. Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
You are most welcome.
Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes, God bless.
Bye. Okay, yes. All right, yes.
You see, a lot of people actually don't realize that.
That's true.
That they can make yeah. contact themselves. They don't necessarily always need a medium to do it for them. The point is that's through validation, and that is through perhaps something beyond a physical person's ordinary mortal attempts. However, it may well be that you as an individual, even if you have not tried it before, may well gain access to the spirit world, not through, as I said, a longing of them to return, because that's a negative vibration. It has to come from the purity of love from deep within a self.
Yeah, so basically, if you are really... that's difficult, isn't it, really? That's a
sort
of...
it is.
Awkward situation, because obviously you are trying to do it because you are longing to hear from them or whatever, have contact from them.
Yes.
So, but obviously it's something that you have to purposefully work on to actually shift your vibration into a different sort of energy.
Yes, that is quite true.
To make it more accessible for them.
Yes, that is quite true. But most situations happen via the spirit world, not oftentimes from the situation of your own orchestration. That is, when a loved one passes and you send out love to them and they reappear or something like that, or they give you a telltale sign of their appearance around you in the physical world.
Mm.
And that is what most people experience firsthand.
Yes, because obviously, you know, let's face it, some of us are very happy just with the knowing, just a little something, really, that lets them know, that lets you know that your loved one's okay. You know, a really detailed message is absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
But it doesn't happen that often.
No.
And people are happy with just a little knowing that they are.
Yes, it may be, for example, a scent of them. Of their own perspiration or something like that. Actually, because everybody has a particular smell that they had when they were in the physical life. So that may be the orchestration that the spirit world are able to bring to you.
Mm. Or their perfume or their tobacco.
Yes, quite so.
Different smells.
Yes, which is, of course, much easier for someone from outside of life to bring to you on the physical plane. Quite simply because it comes as an energy orb, and so it's actually able to, it's much easier to produce that than it is to produce something of manifestation which is more solid or something that you can see.
Okay, so let's
take
different
it. Different energy.
Let's take it from there, and we'll go back to my questions in a moment, my initial question. So if somebody wanted to do that, they would obviously have to learn how to do that. Okay, so they've arrived at the spirit world, and we are going through all of those sorts of procedures that you go through. That's what we've been doing. And who do they ask to learn how they would do that?
Well, it may well not necessarily be that they have to do it themselves. They just it's really through the development of the loving vibration between those people on different sides of, in different dimensions, if you like. So your loved one perhaps has passed and needs to make contact back to the physical world. It can quite easily be that person through that love vibration and through the messages coming through of the love intention from the physical world actually enables others in the spirit world simply to manifest it as an essence of memory. And it's quite... I know it perhaps seems difficult that you would wrap up an essence of memory or perhaps some kind of physical solution, which is obviously a little collection of presented chemicals. How can that be possible in a physical way coming from a non-physical vibration?
Mm.
Well, actually what happens is that through the manifestation of thought of that individual, now on our side of life, it is created through certain mechanisms that allow that to happen and is quite a natural giving process, I suppose, from our side of life to yours. Doesn't mean to say that somebody sets up a machine or clicks a button or something like
it's
produced.
I was thinking, you know, you'd have to be, you know, you'd have to ask somebody if that was, you wouldn't know it was possible.
No, indeed not. So usually it is actually through others that you meet once you get to our side of life, people like myself, and there are many of us in the transition states whereby, and that doesn't make any of those who work in this area any lesser or of a lesser vibration or something like that. I know people have fixated about what layers of a hierarchy there may be in the spirit world. It has no intention upon that at all. That is a misleading connotation of what energy is. So what we're actually able to do is to help that person focus their thought then of who they were in the physical world, and the perhaps to give that person an indication. And what we use is certain kinds of prism mechanics. Prism mechanics are enabling us to focus energies from non-physical reality into physical reality, and create a small bubble which is surrounded by a kind of a translucent, clear, completely clear, sort of, it's a bit like wrapping it in a kind of little ball. And that plasmic energy which we wrap the thought in then becomes solidified once it's released into the physical atmosphere.
Okay.
And what happens is that spirit of that person, we simply attach it to the aura of that spirit of the person. See?
The aura of the spirit. Ah, right. Of the physical, who is in the physical. You attach
yes.
the... Okay. The...
By a small thread.
Right.
And so that the spirit comes into your vibration then. This is what you actually are creating. And what actually manifests into your reality is that the spirit then is still remaining in our dimension, but that the presence of that spirit in your reality and around your atmosphere will mean that the energy particle is simply let loose around you. So as the spirit moves around you, it will be that the energy particle is actually released because of the closeness of vibration.
Okay, and then it's actually able to be... The smell
then
is actually able to be yes.
Yes.
Smell.
Yes.
Hmm. That's amazing. What's the easiest things to be able to do that with, and which is the most difficult of scents? Smell,
well,
whatever,
yes, yes,
aroma.
The easiest ones are actually to do with body odor.
Yeah, okay.
Because that's a part of the physical chemistry properties of that physical organism. So, and because that's inherent within the cell memory of the spirit, because that's what's cast into our dimension. It means to say that whole actual physical property and that of, shall we say, I'm just trying to think what else, cigarette smoke or tobacco is also part of a conscious memory, not necessarily that it will be something of a cell memory, although it may well be that the lungs of that person may well have cell memory attached to it because it actually formed a part of the dysfunction of the lung. For example. So it's actually very much inherent within the physical being state. It's also something which may well have been inherent within that physical body's journey whilst they were perhaps in wearing certain clothing. As oftentimes it will be, or even in their hair or something like that.
Yes, very often you can you smell your father's jacket or you know, a smoky jacket, and it will be like... remind you of your childhood when you used to be picked up by your father or something.
Yes, yes, that's quite true. And that's simply because the energy essence of that physical person has been left chemically imprinted upon the fabric of the clothing itself.
So what is the most common ones then? And
well, actually, certain specific perfumes through memory usually tend to be triggers. Now, sometimes some beings don't actually use that as a process. They don't actually sometimes use that whole scenario of creating a plasmic sphere in order to contain the essence of scent of chemical interaction that person had. It may well be at times that this is created through thought processes. Because thought's a living thing, don't forget, it may well be that, and this is the other way of doing it, that those in our side of life are able to actually attach thought or send thought to you. That is the thought memory of what they used to do and as a living thought, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So that actually the processes of that thought, including the actual chemical construction of the scent they want to send, is actually sent to you.
And birthed.
From mind to mind.
And burst in the same way as just the ordinary scent would be.
Well, it can burst, or it can be that the thought is sent to your physiological brain for you to pick up.
And that's done with the help of other people.
Telekinesis, yes.
Of other people?
That's done purely and simply by that spirit having an ability to be able to manifest thought in that way. They have to be able to realize, of course, once they've passed to our side of life, that their thoughts are living things and continue to be living.
Mm.
That's the point of the process. See?
Right.
And that takes a little education for some beings. Other beings, they it's just like falling off a log. They don't have any hiccups over this problem.
So they can do it themselves after a while?
Yes, absolutely so.
All of it? The whole thing, even the bubble of scent and that sort of
yes.
thing, they don't need anybody else to help them do that. They just have to learn how to do it.
Yes, that's quite true. It's part of the process, yes.
Which smell, aroma, is the most difficult one to do?
Well, I suppose really in a sense, some of the body odors are most difficult because a person doesn't necessarily realize what their own odor is. Understand.
Yeah.
Maybe, obviously, they have a certain odor that they used to experience, perhaps underneath their armpits or something like that. But that's only the state of what that person's aroma would have been as they detected themselves. It may not be that for most people that they actually knew of their own aroma.
Well, no. Well, roses come up quite a lot then.
Well, exactly, but it's not explicit for that person, is it? It's not really part of their memory.
It goes to show how we've been fooling ourselves, folks.
Yes, quite so.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
You understand. So if you asked someone's spouse, well, what is the aroma of your late husband or something like that, it would be very difficult for them to say because they hadn't necessarily thought about it that way. But usually they would be able to tell because it's very explicit, but it's extremely difficult for that person to manifest it in a physiological way. It's actually easier to do it as a thought process, purely and simply by collecting the thought of what that aroma would have been. It means that you don't actually have to place yourself in the other person's shoes in order to do that because it's part of your cell memory.
So, what about, that actually probably is one of the sort of basic things, isn't it, that people try to do first of all? Is it one of the first things that come, you know,
yes.
that people actually focus on?
Yes, to let another know that they're still present.
Because,
yes.
you know, some people only need that.
Yes, of
don't
course.
They? And
yes.
then they can, and then the spirit person can go on and continue their life in the spirit world without worrying, you know, knowing that they've comforted their loved ones in that knowing that they are still a conscious being.
Yes, absolutely so. That's quite true. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Okay, so yes, it's a similar thing, really. I was talking about our hopes and dreams being continued to be followed. In the spirit world, you know, because
yes,
you know, and obviously this is never going to be the right time. But some people might be thinking, "Oh, well, I'm looking for good rest when I get to the spirit world." Other people
are
going to be,
luck,
you know, like a kid in a candy shop, and yes. can't wait to explore. Others will be, you know, need help, and well, everybody needs help.
True,
don't they?
Absolutely.
You know,
yes.
To know what to do next and
yes,
the possibilities.
Yes, regardless of who you are as well, I have to say, even some who have been mediums in their physical life actually find it quite difficult because it's not actually how it was necessarily portrayed to them. And it might actually end up in being quite different from their own physical perception or from what they had learned in physical life.
Yes, but presumably only because they need to unlearn.
Yes, that's
not
quite
because
true.
It's difficult.
Yes,
because if
that
it was
is
difficult,
quite true.
Then
it would bar certain people from actually picking up their life from where they left off, particularly simple souls, people who couldn't read or write or whatever. What then do they do? Does it mean to say that they actually have to manifest that magically from something? Or is it that they're actually shown? Well, they're actually shown.
Should we be taking notice of this and how we actually teach people in the physical that actually you show people and you, shall we say, mentor people and you show by example and you explain rather than the academic? Because obviously, presumably the academic side of it doesn't actually come into this situation. Like you say, it can't do, or else it will bar certain people. I'm sure later on in the halls of learning and the scientific, the different studies and that sort of thing. So is this something that is quite indicative of what we should be looking at?
Well, you see, one of the things is that springs to mind, friend, is that, should we say then you have a person who in their culture, in their cultural destiny and what they experienced as a physical being, perhaps that they didn't learn to read and write.
Mm.
So what do they do when they get to our side of life? You see, if they didn't have that imprinted upon their consciousness memory, how is it manifest then?
Mm.
And I think it's most interesting, indicative, if you like, in just the same way as if you were dealing with someone who was blind, who could never see.
Yeah.
In their physical life, never actually had the gift of sight in their physical life. What then? How can we extend the balance of physical memory from that as being an original orientation that physical person had if it's no part of their physical memory?
Exactly.
If a person had no legs, for example, it means that their consciousness memory of their physical life, if they were born with no legs, wouldn't be included that they had legs, would it?
No. So how do you deal with that?
I do like to pose these interesting things.
These questions to yourself, yes.
Well, because the point is that they are the rational sorts of situations that people have to ask themselves.
Absolutely.
As to how is this a facility which is combated in the spirit world?
Mm. Yes, we have to cover every eventuality.
We do, yes, absolutely so. And understand it for its true worth. Now, for example, then, let's take a blind person for a moment, seeing as that's quite a relative situation. We acknowledge that blind people in the physical side of life, if they've never understood or never had contact with physical sight, it means that everything in their space is black, nothing, is a void. So they don't dream in pictures because there are none. You only dream in pictures, so say, because of your conscious memory of your physical sight. That enables that dream ethic to then be transported into something of the state of mind that you are in. So what then of this state of mind if you, as I say, come to our side remaining blind? We have to remember that the other aspects of compatibility of the physical life are perhaps heightened by the lack of sight, meaning that the other senses are created in, are more heightened, are more acute. This means to say it doesn't make up for the loss of sight, but it does mean to say that you have a different spatial awareness because of your ability to cope with your immediate surroundings and the way that you were able to cope with your life. This has completely differently orientated your conscious setting and the way that you recreate that consciousness. If you've never had a conscious thought of what an image might be, even might look like, because you have no concept of looking. It means to say there's a large void in that consciousness setting. That means that person has never experienced it.
But don't most people think that you automatically have all your functions when you get to the spirit world and that you can see immediately?
Yes, but I'm saying it's not logical.
Okay.
That what actually happens is that in some respects you could say that when you are experiencing the negativity of that aspect, it doesn't mean to say that you are negatively looking at it that way. It means that, in fact, on point of fact of what's happening, is that you've never had sight, so you have nothing to compare to. What happens in the spirit world is that because of the collective memory of your soul group, there are hundreds of thousands of others from your soul group who have had sight. It means that their shared memory of sight is given to you. That's actually what happens. Because you, as a physical person, don't have that memory. Now, if you're looking at in terms of your own spirit state and your own purity of spirit state, that element of your spirit will have memory of sight. Because all spirit have memory of sight. You don't need physical eyes in order to have memory of what sight is. Yes?
Okay.
So what the person is taught is actually engagement with the rest of the soul group, which means their energy comes flooding to you as you return to our side of life. And that energy of their combined understanding of their own physical journeys and their own spirit journeys reignites the situation between your spirit and your physical conscious state. That remains to be the case unless it is you've created great negativity in your physical life, in which case it will be difficult for that pure energy to come through. That doesn't mean to say it won't, but it does mean to say that you, as a conscious being, would have to raise your vibration in order for that to become manifest, for you to really properly connect with it.
Hmm. That's interesting. That's it. About the soul group situation, soul memory.
Yes, absolutely. Soul memory is very important, especially, of course, for those who perhaps, as I say, in their cell memory journey, that they never perhaps experienced legs or arms. Should we say they were born without them?
Mm.
What is their soul memory then? Yes?
Mm. Absolutely, yes.
Because otherwise, if you asked of a spirit being to rely wholly and solely upon their own soul memory of the collection of emotions, actions, and events created in physical life, their soul memory will be that all those memories didn't include their arms.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, included their inability to operate with their arms, and so had to cope with other things. Perhaps they used to write letters using their feet,
mm-hmm.
or something like that, yes? And that's a very willful part of that person's journey. That means to say that whole situation is brought forward into the soul group so that they will all share that experience and then be enabled to understand how a person in the physical life journey is able to manifest, overcome problems which are given to them to surmount. Not necessarily as a way of testing them, not necessarily as a way of saying, right, here is a property that you're going to have to overcome, as a lesson for the group to observe. I'm not saying that it's like that, because then you wouldn't have a free will journey. Just that for some people, they unfortunately, genetically, are not whole, are not complete as other people are, but they're whole within themselves, as have been manifested through their genetics and that ability to make that manifestation happen in physical reality.
Okay, if you'd like to join us with a question to Gregory about the spirit world, then the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. The number is free phone 877-876-5227 in the USA, and in Canada it's 888-815-9756. So, okay, what if somebody had a limp all of their life?
Yes, and of course that will be a part of their intrinsic memory.
Will they limp?
Colour everything that they did.
Will they limp for a while, or will they continue, you know, or will they not bother limping?
If they continue to harbour that as a memory and want to continue that process of their memory, that is a matter for them. But they will be shown that it's actually something that they don't have to do any longer. It's the same as someone who passed, shall we say, from emphysema or something like that. That's also a past relative situation of the memory. And the memory cord that delivers that, in a sense, it's like, well, you don't actually have to wear that memory if you don't want to, but an individual is shown that ability, and it actually becomes just a memory signal, if you like, so that a person can recall it if they want to. They don't have to wear it. They don't have to continue to live with it.
I guess some people continue doing things without realizing that they're doing it.
Yes, absolutely so. It's like the person, for example, who passes, who cannot think of anything else to do other than make a matchstick man and spends years and years doing it.
Mm. Yeah. So you said that you know instantly, you said about the other week, that you know instantly where people come from when they first get to the spirit world.
Yes. The geological area of their birthright or of their living space, yes, absolutely.
And that's this world and other worlds?
Well, it depends. It depends entirely upon where we are at the time and what the acknowledgement is. Perhaps if it's someone coming from a different dimension, then yes, quite possibly.
You would probably, so, but would you be in like a different, as it were, reception chamber, a different area? let's talk about it in human terms. That we can actually grasp what happens, the situation. So would you be working for people that come from a specific race
or a specific planet
or whatever in a specific area? So in other words, those people come through this door, this area, the other people come through the other area.
My point is, though, that there are situations where we have others coming through from other dimensions or other realities who come through to the spirit world in our vicinity, if you'd like. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean to say that I am tethered to the physical earth. I make many journeys to other places in the physical universe and other places in the dimensions and universes of our understanding and knowing.
That we don't know about.
Yes, quite so. Mm. So the point is that it's not like there is only one central place that everyone comes to. It's so vast. That's the point. And that's why we say it's as vast as the universe you observe, but manifest a million times.
And what do animals come through their own reception chamber?
Animals, if they are tied, if they had a physical earth journey,
from the earth plane.
No, it will be actually through the same situation, although, however, they will return to their own soul group, their own definition. They won't then, therefore, for example, timid shrews and that kind of creature will not come through manifesting in the world of humanity or the spirit of humanity, as it were, purely and simply because it would frighten the living daylights out of them.
Well, yes, sure. I mean,
they would be within the soul group harbour and vibration of their own intention.
Okay. So do they have mentors, animal mentors?
Yes, absolutely so.
Welcoming and receiving them when they pass
Yes, absolutely so. It's a myth to say that all animals have to be at the behest of physical or apparent people who, yes, human beings.
Human beings, yeah.
Yes, all at the behest of human beings to look after them. As beastmaster or something like that. That's a myth.
The roles change back to how they should be, basically.
Yes, absolutely so, as all creatures being equal, including human beings. And purely and simply, what happens is many of the, I have to tell you, friend, many of the astounding meetings that happen between beings that were human in their physical life and beings that were other creatures, and the meetings that take place are absolutely profound and wondrous.
In what way? Give us an example.
Well, for example, my meeting with my squirrel friend.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole situation of that as he stepped out of the book and brought with him his whole family, an ancestral memory.
This was a squirrel that you rescued, wasn't it?
Yes, some months before my physical passing. And actually what happened was the whole essence of that journey, it made it complete that I actually understood within that one single meeting what the possibilities could be between myself and other beings. That is why, in a sense, I have learned so much about so many other different kinds of beings, not just human beings, but my relationships with others continues to blossom.
Okay, so what about people who want to welcome their pets? So the person, the owner, pet owner, has passed previously, and they are in the spirit world to welcome their pet when they pass.
Yes.
That's possible.
Absolutely. Yes, and necessary for that loving relationship to be returned to them. Mm. And that's the point. It's not a one-way system. It's not just that animals come back to befriend their loving masters in the physical world. It actually comes both ways, so that if your lovely pets, beings in fur, or whether they're snakes or whatever it is, spiders even, that they will actually acknowledge that relationship once they return to our side of life.
Okay, and what about the other way around? The pet has passed to the spirit world and continues to be around you while you're in the physical, like we know pets do.
Yes.
And then when you pass to the spirit world, your pet will be there to welcome you?
Yes, absolutely so. And that's exactly what will happen, because the love tie between you, that relationship continues to grow and continues to manifest. It doesn't mean to say that just because a dog is a dog that it cannot keep up with you.
And who trains or who teaches your dog how to do certain things in able to become close to you? Like you were just saying that you have to learn how to, you know, make the scent bubble and presumably various other things that I'd like to know about, how
yes.
they do that.
Yes.
Who teaches the pet how to make itself recognized and felt and known in the physical to its owner?
Others from its own cell memory destiny. So, for example, a dog from perhaps the very complex amount of soul groups of to do with dog. Dog doesn't come from one soul group. It comes from a myriad because there are so many different kinds. And all of these different kinds of situations, I know that people would say, oh, well, a temperament of a dog purely and simply comes from their breeding, comes from their genetic display. Yes, I agree with that in physical reality, but in the spirit world, it comes from a great many other temperaments which were created because of the display of the genetics as the evolutionary mat unfolded within the evolutionary pathway and journey. That meant to say that in exactly the same processes as human beings have mutated and grown and dispersed and become varied, so it is that this happens to many other animals. Notwithstanding, to remember that the whole case about animals is that they will generally mutate and continue their process pathway for around between 5 and 8 million years in physical terms before they mutate and turn into a completely different kind of being.
What sort of being?
Well, I'm saying that in the physical sense, so that if you are looking at a specific family of beings, a family of what were rabbits once, are not necessarily always going to be rabbits, although rabbits have actually been around for a very long time. So there are certain mutations of those rabbits which turn into different kinds of rabbits, yes?
Mm-hmm.
As a balance of mutation and physical property. This means to say not only that it creates a different situation in the spirit world in order to cope with that evolutionary status of emergence, it also means to say that status has it is never broken. It never disintegrates just because one physical collection of cells and genetics actually ceases to exist. For example, that soul group is still completely intact, and the collection of cells and molecular structure that was the memory of that physical journey doesn't mean to say that it's then depleted or deleted from the memory of soul group. It's actually still ongoing in the processes are still ongoing in the spirit world, long after the physical journey has ceased.
Okay, hello caller, who's speaking, please?
Yeah, hi, it's Noella from Canada. How are you?
Hello,
hello
Noella.
Hi, wishing you greetings and happy season for Christmas.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask, on the communication end of spirit to our world, can they use electronics a lot? Because when my father passed, my brother had some lights go on and off. Like he left the house and turned all the lights off, and then when he got back home, they were all on, or
yes,
switching on the TV sets and stuff like that. Is that a possibility that they're being communicated
with? Oh, yes.
With?
Oh, yes, absolutely so, my dear friend. But it's also, of course, because of the love attraction between father and son or sister-brother. Those close family tie relationships oftentimes will enable those from our side of life, loved ones who have passed, to help to manifest that loving kindness and awareness which continues after and beyond physical passing. So it's absolutely. But
they can manifest it. Because he even
absolutely
had pennies dropping on his bed.
Yes, a ports also, yes. That means to say then, my dear friend, that the relationship was extremely strong.
Yeah.
And also that the ability for that to happen, I have to say, friend, doesn't necessarily mean to say it's just manifesting from the spirit world, but also that your brother has gift.
Oh, and he's a non-believer. Isn't that funny? It's always the way,
well,
isn't it?
Yes, yes. You don't have to believe anything, my dear friend.
Nope.
It's actually just a point of evidence, and
oh,
the way, yes, and oftentimes it can be the way in which those loved ones who return to our side of life and understand or are shown that the surviving physical members of the family have certain specific gifts or properties, it will oftentimes be that those loved ones are the ones who will be responsible within their own spirit group to actually help to bring that manifestation.
Because I asked,
I asked
a medium about it, and her explanation was that through my father's life review, he didn't really feel he was forgiven by my brother. He was a tough father. And
yes,
so this is why he was concentrating. Well, we have seven in our family, but he was concentrating on my brother because it wasn't really, how should I say, resolved. Is that a possibility?
Yes, I understand that, but that's just one part of it.
Okay.
And what I'm saying, dear friend, is that, you see, every single being in physical life has spirit gifts, has properties within
yes
themselves. It's just that they have to come to manifest them. It is quite true to say that various aspects of the journey mean to say that, particularly if a person was particularly difficult in their physical life, usually through their lack of knowledge or understanding of that life,
right.
meant to say then that perhaps they were a bully in their relationship with the rest of their family or something like that.
Exactly.
And oftentimes that kind of situation can produce a great deal of feelings of regret, but at the same time, it's the energy emergence, the love from one to another, that then manifests itself.
Yes.
Because after all, if a person who has actually led their life in that way and hasn't manifested the love that was actually possible during their lifetime experience, then they've obviously missed out a great deal, and they feel honor-bound to express that love in different ways to return it. But however, I do insist, though, my dear friend, your brother has gifts.
Oh, that's great, because some of us do in our family, so I guess
yes.
it's hereditary.
Yes.
My grandmother has it, my aunt, myself, and now my brother, I guess.
Yes.
So that's wonderful.
That's fantastic.
Yes, and I'm glad you have your gifts, too, to share with all of us, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
My dear friend. It's much
thank
easier
you.
For
okay.
me, of course, but yes, I take your point for these two people sitting here. Yes.
Well, I just love the knowledge that you bring forth. It's very comforting, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Noella. Do phone again, and your question
blessings,
has actually triggered lots of other questions for me for next week as well.
Okay, well, thank you. Goodbye,
thank you.
Everyone.
God bless,
Beth.
Bye.
God bless, my dear friend. Yeah.
Okay, well, Noella's taken us up to time.
Oh, very well, then. With love and light, then, blessings be upon your journeys, everyone. I thank you so much for this wonderful interactive state, and I hope that this has enabled some others besides Noella to be able to open their eyes to new frontiers of their own mind.
Absolutely.
So, with love and light, blessings be.
Thank you. Okay, well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website again, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out lots of information about us. Maybe take a look at Gregory in the video, or you can find him on YouTube to see actually how it looks when mixed in trance or something like that. Getting my words mixed up here. We also do Akashic readings. Maybe you would like to have a look at our Akashic readings site, and also the other things that we do. Anyway, we'd love to hear from you, whatever. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.